Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Emmett County Commissioners meeting, Board of Commissioners meeting for September 11th. This is the 6 o'clock meeting. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let's have roll call.
Here.
Commissioner Aaron.
Here.
Commissioner May.
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup.
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski.
Here.
Commissioner White.
Here.
Commissioner Coons.
Here. Okay, looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion to amend the agenda. In the event that the board decides to take action on agenda item number 2, the public hearing code of ethics and conduct, there could be a need to appoint new representation to the Board of Health. This issue is time sensitive because there's a special meeting of the Board of Health on September 18th to approve the budget, and Emmett County will need representation. Therefore, I move to amend the agenda to add item 2A, consideration and appointment of representation for Emmett County on the Board of Health, contingent on the need for such action based on the outcome of agenda item 2. And I have that written if you need it.
Okay, any objections to that?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for the second. Any discussion? All those in favor of adding that to the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
Motion carries. Moving on to the approval of the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, before we approve the minutes from the last meeting, I would like to add one thing on page 5.
Excuse me. We're still on the agenda.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I'll make the motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Now we go to the approval of the minutes.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would like to add one thing to the minutes from the last meeting. On page 5, under Bay Bluffs Boiler Room, I would like to add that I did voice concerns about the number of dollars being spent on Bay Bluffs, almost $500,000 tonight, and that's referring to the August 17th meeting.
Can you add that to the minutes? So, any objection to that? Can you make that as a motion?
Yes.
And we need a second to that motion.
I'll second that.
We have 2 seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I have a requested change for minutes as well. Page 3, the second paragraph, the last 2 sentences. It reads, Koontz requested that Ginnup resign from the Board of Health. Ginnup responded that he intends to continue to operate in the manner that he is currently as a member of the Board of Health. And I would request that the last sentence be replaced with, Koontz then asked Ginnup if he intends to continue to operate in violation of the Board of Commissioners' Code of Conduct, and Ginnup responded, yes, I do. This proposed change is quoted from the meeting audio, which would be more accurately reflect the exchange that took place there.
You going to make that as a motion?
Yeah. I move that we amend page 3, second paragraph of the previous minutes, the last 2 sentences that read, Koontz requested that Ginnup resign from the Board of Health. Ginnup responded that he intends to continue to operate in the manner that he currently is as a member of the Board of Health. I request that the last sentence be replaced with, Koontz then asked Ginnup if he intends to continue to operate in violation of the Board of Commissioners' Code of Conduct, and Ginnup responded, yes, I do. I have that written down here for Sue, if Suzanne, if she'd like it.
So we have a motion on the floor. Looking for a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Wait a minute. Sorry. Open for discussion.
Yeah, we should have discussion first. The minutes have already been approved for the last meeting.
I don't think they have. I think that's what we're doing right now.
So he interrupted. Go ahead.
I was just going to indicate that these are, my understanding of the proceedings so far is that these are motions to make amendments to the minutes before you vote on approving the minutes as amended. So the final motion, if you get through this motion and there are no other motions to amend the minutes, then there would be a final motion to approve the minutes as amended.
So we're voting on the second amendment?
Correct.
Everybody clear with that? Any other discussions? Okay, so all in favor on the second amendment that we have before us, actually. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
Motion carries. Now we're going to ask for a motion to approve the minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the minutes as amended.
I second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign? Motion carries. Come to the time where it's time for public comment.
I just want to mention before you get into public comment that during the public hearing, there'll be a time for everybody to talk about the health issue during the public hearing time.
Don't pull it.
Okay, I was just going to bend it. But good thing I have a big, loud mouth. I'm Lisa Keene. Thank you for item 2 on tonight's agenda and now also item 2A. Many of us were witness to the August 17th meeting when Commissioner Kuntz asked Commissioner Ginnup why he opposed the grants from the August 10th P&E committee meeting, to which Rich responded with silence. Rich had an answer, but it would be deplorable to announce in a recorded meeting the goal he shares with some others is to destroy our local health department, which he has demonstrated since assuming his role on the board. You must remove Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health. Commissioner Kuntz went on to ask, we can assume you intend to continue to operate in violation of the Board of Commissioners' Code of Conduct. Commissioner Ginnup responded, yes, I do. While the answer was brief, those three bold and proudly spoken words are a declaration of three unique and disturbing admissions. The first is, yes, Rich understands the accusation. Two, he acknowledges the accusations are true. And three, he firmly, without question, has declared he intends to continue to behave unethically, expecting the character of each of you, his fellow commissioners, to be so equally low, you will somehow condone his continued dishonorable acts. You must remove Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health. Commissioner Ginnup has done you a huge favor. He has publicly proclaimed his dereliction of duty to ensure there is nothing for you to debate. No one has to invest any time considering another interpretation of his words. He told us all he intends to continue to embarrass Emmett County by sitting idle when prompt action brings valuable programming. He will speak up and act only when he has the opportunity to use his power to remove and deny opportunities, and he will gloat in his complacency unless you stop him. You must remove Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health. Commissioner Ginnup just sits, quite literally, on the Board of Health to contribute to the nefarious goal of defending our local health department while simultaneously seeking cheers from his anti-government ERG members who count on him to act in their pathetic interests, making victims of our community's neediest citizens. You must remove Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health. And when it is your turn tonight to demonstrate through your vote to remove Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health, you send one of two messages. Either you recognize such character as deplorable and you wish to distance yourself from his unconscionable behavior, or you stand with him in utter disregard of the moral and ethical position to which you are to uphold. And I, for one, believe in each of you wholeheartedly. And I thank you for removing Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health tonight.
Who's next?
Vicki DeLappins, Emmett County, City of Petoskey. On June 5th, the Emmett County Board of Commissioners adopted the resolution establishing policies and positions to guide representation on the Board of Health. The commissioners should be following this code of conduct. However, there is one commissioner, Mr. Ginnup, who has admitted that he will not follow these codes of conduct. Therefore, the remaining commissioners are bound by their duty to act on this behavior. If no action is taken, then the code of ethics means absolutely nothing, only meaningless words that look good on paper. Please be true to the code of ethics and remove Mr. Ginnup from the Board of Health and replace him with someone who will look after the interests of the community and the Board of Health. Thank you.
Ma'am, I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry.
Ligita, L-I-G-I-T-A. L-A-P-I-N-S.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Pat Freilich, Emmett County. In 4 short months, the Health Department's Board of Health, with the support of Commissioner Ginnup, has declined to endorse grant applications to help our children, totaling $625,000. That's a lot of money to me. I've heard that these grants aren't needed because it's the parents' responsibility and because there's a lot of help out there. Working as a nurse at the health department for close to 45 years, I have seen a lot of children and families in need. I remember working in a WIC clinic, and there was a box of Cheerios on a file cabinet. A couple of children came into the clinic with their mom, and I noticed that they kept looking up at that yellow box of Cheerios. They didn't say anything, but they kept looking at that box of cereal. I looked at the mom, and she said, "We don't have any food to eat today." Those kids were so eager to eat those Cheerios. I also remember being on a home visit on a very cold, snowy day. There was no heat in the house, so mom and the kids were bundled up in their winter coats, and mom had the oven on and the oven door open to heat the house. Do you think that those parents were thinking about how to get fresh fruits and vegetables to their children? Do you think those parents were thinking about the importance of getting dental sealants for their children? When you offer fresh fruits and vegetables in school, you enable kids to get what they need, even when their parents may be struggling to keep the heat on. The health department opened the first dental clinic in East Jordan in 1992, over 30 years ago. Wow. The health department took the initiative to provide dental care to children because children with Medicaid couldn't get appointments at private dentist's office, and believe me, we tried. There was no help out there. And without the health department dental clinics today, hundreds of people would not have access to dental care. Yet, there still aren't enough appointments available, so providing dental sealants in schools was an opportunity to provide access to dental care to kids who can't even get in to see a dentist, and they wouldn't even miss a day of school. A commissioner who does not act in a fair and ethical manner and who does not act in the public interest supporting programs that help our most vulnerable citizens, our children, cannot be allowed to continue to represent Emmett County on the Board of Health. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Bonnie Bridge. I live in Emmett County. And I just wanted to thank you. I've never come to a county commission meeting before, but I felt really strongly that I wanted to come out and thank you so much for what you have done. I really appreciate the stance that you've taken towards the health department. And I really appreciate you doing what so many voters like me sent you exactly here to do, exactly what we sent you here to do. We've had enough of power-hungry government agencies that do not respond to the will of the people, that impose restrictions and mandates completely against the science and against our democracy. That's why so many of us voted for commissioners who would rein in the health department. We spent 2 years watching the health department impose mandates, shut down business, shut down the economy, put our husbands out of work, and force our children to wear masks long after it was clear that children and healthy young people were not at high risk from COVID. You and the other members of the Board of Health are the only line of defense we have against an unelected agency that has the power to shut down our economy. Anything you can do to shrink this bureaucracy is appreciated. No more grants, no new powers, no new projects. Thank you for being vigilant, a vigilant sentinel against a growing government that is a problem around the whole country. We need to rein in these agencies that have no oversight, and you're the last line of defense. So I thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening. Glad you're let me speak with you tonight. I'm going to support Rich Ginnup.
Let's start with your name.
Tom Curtis, Emmett County. We sent Rich here to do exactly what he's doing. And if he doesn't do what he's doing to rein back this health department thing, that would be unethical. Totally. This is the base in which he ran his campaign on as part of it, and I commend him for standing up and doing the right thing. I don't know what any of the board members' profession is outside of this room. I'm a retired building contractor, and I'm right in the middle of one of the biggest jobs I ever had when COVID shut me down. The health department shut me down. Loss of income. Employees' loss of income. Subcontractors' loss of income. They still have bills to pay. And the health department shut us down. Supreme Court, State of Michigan, told the governor that is unconstitutional. You can't do it. So she puts out her bulldogs in the health department to go do her dirty work for her. If it's unconstitutional for the governor to do it, then it's unconstitutional for a local health department to do it. It's constitutional or it's not. I commend Rich Ginnup for standing up and doing exactly what he said he was going to do when he got here. Thank you.
My name is Karen Curtis, and I fully believe in Rich. He is doing what we voted him in to do, and keep up the good work, Rich.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Carolyn Penniman, and I live in Littlefield Township. I strongly support the motion that will be voted on tonight regarding replacing one of our county's representatives on the Board of Health. The Code of Ethics and Conduct states that the citizens of Emmett County are entitled to have fair, ethical, and accountable local government that has earned the public's full confidence for integrity. I appreciate that we have a clear process to follow when changes are needed, and I applaud the commissioners who have done the careful work to follow the appropriate procedures to bring this concern forward, to maintain the accountability and integrity of our local government. I have attended meetings of our Board of Commissioners over many years. I retired from Michigan State University Extension after serving in Emmett County. Grant applications often have short time frames and require a huge amount of work, including detailed budgets and accounting methods to maintain careful compliance. Grants are a significant portion of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan funding, and MSU Extension often collaborated in nutrition and health programs that served this county. Those grants had strict guidelines on the content, as well as allowable expenses in providing those services. They also required regular reporting and measured results. I saw the difference it made in people's lives, and they appreciated the help to improve their life situations. We can all use a little help sometime. I have been appalled by the callous disregard by one of our representatives on the Board of Health in refusing to support grants that would benefit our community. I observed the careful work that was done to develop guidelines, and that all finally agreed to follow. It is inexcusable to have our representative openly violate the guidelines. Thank you for taking action to address this important matter. And finally, today is September 11th. Let's remember how people reacted to the trauma of that day 22 years ago, not with polarization into political camps, but by coming together to acknowledge that what harms or heals one of us harms or heals us all.
Thank you.
My name is Kenneth McAlpin, and I live in Emmett County. I'm here to speak in support of Commissioner Genup and for the stands he's taken. I think I've been alive long enough to know that no grants come without strings attached. And to think that they do otherwise is naive. It's my understanding that your concern with refusing to vote for one of these grants was because they refused to be transparent about the requirements that would come along with accepting that grant. So I think that's an act of courage, and I applaud you. I think that there's an organized campaign of vilification and demonization going on here tonight, that if you were to believe these people that are coming here to attack you, you'd have to think that you are out to starve young children in Emmett County and deny families needed help.
Quiet in the audience, please.
Deny families that need critical help and stuff like that. I think that is absolutely an abomination and not true. So I want to thank you for having the courage to stand up for your convictions, to represent us, and I urge you to continue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Who's next?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am David Penniman. I live in Littlefield Township. I attended the meeting of this board on August 17. I made note of the contrast between objections that have been made to grants for the health department and the lack of objection to grants for county operations. Mm-hmm. When grants for funding programs in the health department have been under discussion, there have been objections to the mission and philosophy of granting organizations. And there have been assertions that families and families alone should bear responsibility for their health information and practices. When the issue before this board was two grants from the state of Michigan for the prosecutor's office and the road patrol, there was no objection from this board or from any member of the public. There was no concern raised about the ideology of the Whitmer administration. Nor did anyone assert the county should be responsible for its own expenses. When the issue was allocation of funds provided by the American Recovery Plan Act being used for equipment at the airport, there was no comment objecting to the Biden administration. Nor did anyone say airport operations should be solely responsible for the equipment costs. Responsible government is based in well-informed and consistent political philosophy and economic theory. Responsible government also recognizes appropriate boundaries concerning conflicts of interest and potential conflicts of interest. Justices of our United States Supreme Court routinely recuse themselves in cases where they have previously ruled as members of the lower courts. Members of other bodies routinely recuse themselves. One example, with no reference to tonight's business, an example would be a member of a zoning board requesting a variance from board recusing themselves from making that decision. Recusal from voting about oneself and one's position is simply part of responsible government. Our political processes have evolved political parties. They serve a useful function. Membership in party, service in governing bodies also become a basis of personal friendships, all of which are good things. But people elected to service, people are elected to service with the expectation they will bring their own perspectives, will be diligent in understanding the issues, and will voice their opinions and cast their votes. Sometimes people will speak and vote at variance with their party and with their friends. And this is as it should be. Individual responsibility goes hand in hand with responsible government. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Who's next?
Katie Drone, and I'm here on behalf of Littlefield Township. The case that is going to be brought before you, the first one, 23-1. Our committee denied the case. Our Planning and Zoning Township denied the case. Emmett County Planning and Zoning denied the case. The reason that we denied the case at Littlefield Township was because they were not consistent with the other two propane companies that we have on 68. They won't be 400 feet back from 68. So that's why we believe in consistency at our township. We recommend to the county, our recommendation to the county and to the businesses that are coming in, the businesses that are there, and the property owners that live in our township. We did rezone the property in 2019 to B2. We feel that the rezoning standard of our ordinance, number C and F, state very plainly the impact that we'll be having on 68. The applicant has other sites that he can choose on 68, including other sites at Keystone Park. We would love to have their business. Our township has got an open policy. Littlefield Township strongly asks the commissioners of Emmett County to deny this case.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Kevin Johnson. I'm the applicant, and I have nothing to do with the health department. What we're requesting is, thank you for listening. I was county commissioner in Ex-Eagle for 10 years, so I know exactly the issues you guys deal with. We're asking for a propane tank in a industrial park that in your master plan is, future plan is to be industrial. And it's a very simple request. And Katie mentioned something about the denying in their planning committee, but they didn't have a quorum. So that's incorrect. We never got to go before their planning committee. They pushed us right to, because nobody showed up, or two people showed up. And so we were then pushed on to the planning commission of the, the township commission. And then onto the planning commission, which we did get some support at the planning commission because it is a PUD, and so that they have more restrictions that they can put on us that way rather than just doing a regular rezone. The reason that we're going in next to our competition, which is our major opponent or whatever you want to call it that doesn't want us there for obvious reasons, is because we want to give the taxpayers another option. And it's typical for us to go next to another propane company because that keeps the uses the same. That's why there isn't any, segregation. We don't have a propane tank or a plant here and a propane plant there. We feel that it's a great fit for it. And based on your master plan that we've gone over, it's the right fit for it. If you spent all that money and all that work on getting it there, and with this, if I could approach, this is simply what it, what it looks like for us. And I know as a previous commissioner, you spend a lot of money on these master plans to try to get them to, to use them. And I'm not sure what else you're going to put behind the guardrail if you were at this location. And we're set off the road quite a ways. I, did, I'm just boggled, because you go after that master plan. Because if we were to go somewhere else, you would say, well, it's not in our master plan. And okay. You would say, it's not in our master plan, so we don't want you to go there. Now, here in your master plan, it says that future development is industrial. And so we come to you and say, we want to go there. We'd like to have a little bit of frontage. I'm an honest person. There's no doubt about it. We'd like to be able to be next to my competition so that the taxpayers have options, much like car dealerships go right next to each other. So when you're shopping for a car, that you can go from one dealer to the other.
Time is up.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello. Extra loud with no hair. All right, sorry about that, guys. Hey, thank you, everyone. Paul Moravian with I'm West Rarick Township residents, but we're developer. My wife and I, Annie, are the developers of Keystone Park, so we're here for the case, the PUD case. Kevin is our applicant and customer, and as well as Bill Musil. He's a customer of ours, too, because he's in our Keystone Park. I'd like you guys, if I could, what I would like to do is just give me this opportunity to give a quick synopsis of our observations and experiences that we've had since this application. So we followed the code, section 17014 for the PUD. There's a pre-application conference, and on May 18th, we had that meeting with Tammy to discuss the PUD rezoning process. At that time, we shared with Tammy our concept and discussed the different choices, options to petition request. I suggested we petition a PUD, which seemed would be the best for the township, county, and the applicant, since PUDs create specific restrictions beyond a typical rezoning request. Never in our conversations, and this comment would make sense if you were able to read all the correspondence that we've been through over the last couple of months. Never in our conversation did Tammy suggest we look at other properties or we should apply or we shouldn't apply. Rather, she did her job as a zoning administrator and work to process and facilitate our application to the Emmett County Plan Commission. That's the process that we expect, and that's what was done. Apparently, the opposition has claimed that they were told not to do this back in 2015, and so they never applied to even request this parcel. So I want to straighten that out if you guys have read it in the letters or the case. Also, I've had several conversations with Katie Derone while submitting our application to the township. Katie never once suggested that we look for other properties, unlike our neighbor Alpine Propane, who has suggested in his letter of opposition that Katie and Tammy told him to find other sites. On June 8th, we submitted per the application deadline. On the 19th, we submitted to Katie Derone. On the 26th, we went to the little field PC meeting. We all showed up at 7 o'clock. They had to cancel the meeting because there was only two members. There was no quorum. We were told we'd be heard on July 6th at the Township Board, which is procedure. We appreciate that. On the 5th of July, the day before, I asked Katie. I'm trying to do this as fast as I can, guys.
You've got 30 seconds.
I asked Katie, well, if we got 30 seconds, I'm going to go to the end then. Oh, boy. All right, I got it. There's no other opportunity during the case? Is there an opportunity to talk, Mr. Chairman? You know, Mr. Chairman, we've been at this for a few months, and I know you guys have unusual business tonight, but as an applicant and a property owner, I would ask if we could have more than 3 minutes, please. My letter's not that long. It's really pertinent to the case.
Go ahead.
The board's rules of procedure do allow the board upon a vote to allow an individual to speak longer than 3 minutes, suspend the rules for that purpose, so that there's a motion and it's approved.
I'll make that motion.
And I would suggest maybe putting some time parameters on it.
Maybe 2 more minutes.
Okay.
Second. I'll support that.
Second. Okay. All in favor of extending the time, say aye.
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 Any all right. Opposed? The same sign. Motion carries. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Then I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. So during the preliminary process, you're supposed to submit your plan to the fire department. It's part of the code in section 17 of the prelim. That was never done. I asked Katie the day before the meeting, did you do that? She said, no, we don't have to worry about that right now. And I even talked to Scott Lauer at the fire department. He's never had the plan. So that was right at the beginning before we even hit the township. So then we attended the township board. The board, this was on July 6th. The board agreed to move the zoning business to the top of the agenda. Katie opened the topic and had public comments on the rezoning request. Comments were made by the applicant, Kevin Johnson, myself, Paul Meridian, and the people in opposition, Bill Musil, Alpine Propane, Nate from Ellsworth Propane, and J.D. Armach. Armach, the neighbor to the west, was concerned about fire and safety. A member of the public, Casey Festerling, who's with the fire department, stated, because he was in the meeting for the report, he stated that for the fire department, it should be no problem. We have the equipment and training to handle this event. Derone stated the fire department approval wouldn't be required until it gets further along. I found that really interesting when at that point it should have already been submitted, but she told us it wasn't required. Of course, they denied it. Katie moved from the public comment and asked the board if anyone had questions. Not one of the board members asked a question, and Katie then proceeded to make a motion of denial with zero deliberation from the board, at least not in an open meeting. And it's my understanding that discussion decisions cannot be made outside of an open meeting. I'm going to jump ahead then till our August 10th.
You have 30 seconds.
Yeah. So we did go to the county on the July 6th. They postponed it, allowed us a few more minutes. And then there seems to be confusion of the concept plan between a PUD rezoning request and a straight-up PUD. And in the PUD preliminary section, you're supposed to be able to provide a development plan, which we did. They kept mentioning that we're not looking at the plan, but that's how you codify a use like this. All right, thank you. I'm sorry I didn't get to finish, but thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just hope that you consider our request because it is a PUD, and it's intended to do the right stuff for the neighborhood, and it's not on the corridor.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening. My name is David Delaney. I'm an attorney from Gaylord. I am counsel for Johnson Propane. I have one point to make, and I'll stay within my 3 minutes, I believe. You may hear an argument tonight about mutual consent. Article 17 and Article 16 of your zoning ordinance do talk about that, but on a rezoning case, the decision is strictly made by the Board of Commissioners. You are the executive branch. You write the laws here. So when that discussion does come up, look at 17.04.8 of your zoning ordinance. And that indicates township review of a PUD. The authority, I'm reading from this verbatim, the authority to condition a PUD approval or denial on the action of a township unit of government is not statutorily feasible. However, it is the declared intent of the PUD process to solicit recommendations from the township unit of government that may be imposed by a proposed PUD and to consider input, facts, and determinations of the township decision. Let me put that in English. That last part means that the committee should have deliberated this, but more importantly, that section says this. When they say not statutorily feasible, what they mean is the Zoning Enabling Act, the state law that allows you to write zoning ordinances, gives you exclusive jurisdiction, this board only, of a rezone. Obviously, if the township could deny rezones, it would strangle your administration because the tail would wag the dog here. So when that issue comes up as to mutual consent, that part of your ordinance does discuss that. You'll probably have to fix that at your next amendment meeting when you do that. But look at 17.04.8. That clearly indicates that it's not feasible. You can consider recommendations of the township, but you make the call on that. If you didn't, the townships could rally, deny all your PUDs, and you'd have no development in Emmett County. So that's the point that I want to make. Do I still have time?
Yes.
Okay. So look at that section. 16 says the same thing, too, and 16 references the township, but we're in 17, which represents the municipality. So there's a conflict there on who they're talking about, and you want to have clarity in your ordinance. But the final thing I want to say is oftentimes you don't see planning and PUD requests. You do here because it's rezoning. Most of the time, your planning commission, your township do all the work for you, but this is your bailiwick. This is your opportunity to decide what your borders are and what you want. If you look at your zoning map, your future use zoning map, it is an industrial use for this particular parcel. And the township corridor study says the same thing. So both of your maps, both the county and the township, say this parcel is going to be industrial. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Beth Compton, and I'm an Emmett County community member. We need to move forward in our community after the once-in-a-century worldwide pandemic. Much has been learned in the past 3 years that will be utilized, not if another pandemic occurs, but when another pandemic occurs. The hunger and lack of food and adequate dental health care to the children in our community is real. I had the privilege and honor of serving these low-income families during my home visits with WIC and the infant support services. The need is real. Parents are working, and the cost of daycare for the second parent to be working often exceeds what that parent would make if they would take a job. Their services are a hand up, so children and families in our community have their needs met. If citizens in our community do not need the services offered by the health department, they are blessed and do not have to participate in these programs. I would ask our Board of Health members of Emmett County, where would you recommend getting money to support these valuable services that we offer our families? We need the Board of Health members in Emmett County to realize that grants are very valuable. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
T.J. Lancaster, owner of Alpine Propane. To me, this is a simple matter for all of the following reasons. The township has already unanimously denied this request. The Emmett County Planning and Zoning has denied this request by a 2-to-1 margin. There are plenty of other parcels available that are already zoned properly for the applicant's intended purpose. This goes against the spirit of the township and the county's intended purpose for the M68 corridor. Ellsworth Propane had to be set back so many feet from M68, and we had to be set back so many feet off of M68 as well. Everyone should have to follow the same rules. We followed the rules and did what the county and township advised us to do. To me, it's all about safety. The level of safety that exists there right now with my two 30,000-gallon explosive hazardous materials propane tanks, I don't want another tank next to me. The only thing between me and that, whether it's behind me, in front of me, beside me, is a chain link fence. That chain link fence isn't going to stop any gas leak in the middle of the night when nobody's around and you have no way to stop it. And whatever level of safety we have right now, the safety level is going to decrease if you put another hazardous materials plant right next to another one. The DEQ fire marshal that I talked to said it definitely makes the area more of a potential target. The local fire department would have twice as much to deal with if we ever had an explosive event or a fire, since the fire department has to truck all the water in from the pumps over by the swing bridge, and there are no fire hydrants. I didn't know if anybody was aware of that, but there's no fire hydrants in the Lansing. The applicant says that we're afraid of competition. I've been setting tanks in Emmett County for years before the applicant even opened. We've been competing together in Emmett County and 10 or so other northern Michigan counties for over 30 years. We compete against AmeriGas and Suburban, the two biggest propane companies in the world, and there's four or five other propane companies in the same area. So this has nothing to do with competition, nothing. The closest neighbor, L.D. Armach, who voiced his disapproval of this, he also didn't like me putting my plant there in the first place because he's the nearest neighbor.
30 seconds.
Okay. And he voiced his disapproval at the township and the planning meeting, and he texted me that he said, my township said no, and if they override that, I guess my wife and I decided we'll just sell and move. We really don't want to live anywhere where not even the township has a say in the matter. With that, I'm done, and thank you. And so in closing, let's keep our community and our firefighters and our neighbors as safe as possible and deny this zoning request.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Well, I guess you can see I'm not here to talk about propane. I've had the honor and pleasure throughout my career to have worked with the health department.
Can you give us your name, please?
Oh, yes. My name is Jan Mancinelli, and I'm a resident of the city of Petoskey, Emmett County.
Thank you.
Again, I had the honor and pleasure to work with the health department most of my career. They are above any other organization in this county that receives government funding to do good things. Their division of family services was superb. They were the lifeblood, the conduit, and the lifesaver for so many of the families, mostly women and children, that needed services in this county. If you needed help, that's where you went, besides a couple of the other organizations. The grants that they wrote, and by the way, whoever said there's strings attached, the only strings attached to a grant are that you do what you say you're going to do, and you better do them because you won't get the money again. But to deny the very services to women and children and working class families that help them with food, health things, and the support that they need to move on with their lives and live happy, healthy lives is critical. Dental health is matched with physical health. A child that needs dental services, getting that service will help determine that child's health through the rest of his or her life. And it's important that they receive them. The same thing with the food and supportive services and the educational services that they receive from the different services that the health department provides. So to deny that is to people who do not have a voice, who do not have the money. I know, Mr. Ginnup, you had stated that the family, this is the parents' responsibility. Well, if the parents can't afford that, how can they exercise that responsibility? So these programs that have been denied by grants twice now that I'm aware of are critical. And it is absolutely unconscionable to me that this body would deny that. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening. Bill Musel with Alpine Propane. We're bouncing all over from health department to propane. But I came to Emmett County in 2015 looking for a spot to put our propane yard, and it's exact. The one we wanted was this lot 30 in Keystone Park. Talked with Tammy, talked with Katie Durham. And, you know, before we just formally go through the process, I talked to locals and say, how do we do things? This is what I want to do. They said it's not how we want to do it here. We don't want this kind of activity along M68. And put your yard on a piece of land that's zoned properly for it, and we'll approve it. So we did. And here we are years later now, and somebody else wants to do it. I believe the Johnson Oil request fails each criterion in 27.11.1 rezoning standards and 17.00 PUD district. If you've read your packet, we've outlined every line item how we feel it fails. As multiple people have said, Littlefield Township unanimously denied the proposal. Emmett County Planning Commission denied it. 17.01.2 of your zoning requires PUDs to be mutually agreeable to the applicant, the municipality, and county. In this case, mutual consent cannot be achieved because the municipality and the zoning commission denied it. So So I request this board deny Johnson Oil's proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening, board. My name is Michael Matheson. I'm the attorney for Alpine Propane, and I believe I'm the last to speak on this zoning matter. As this board has heard, it has before it everything it needs to, again, deny the application. The proposed motion to deny the application is set forth in the board materials, provides all the criteria that this board needs and has been fully considered by the township and the Planning Commission, and we are again asking that the board deny the application. As Mr. Musil just stated, the zoning ordinance at 17.01.12 requires mutual consent with the township and the county, which presumably would mean the Emma County Planning Commission. That zoning standard says no preliminary or final PUD shall be approved unless the proposed project, the plan for the project, and the land uses are mutually agreeable to the applicant, the municipality, and County of Emmett. That doesn't exist here. And on that basis alone, the application should be denied. I also want to touch briefly on the master plan that has also been raised here. The master plan is a guide. It's not a zoning determination. It's a guide for this board, this commission, to use in its zoning decisions. So I'd ask that that be considered going forward. And it's also important to note that this application requests exception to the setback. There's a 50-foot setback in the PUD ordinance. The application here is for 25 feet to the north, which comes even that much closer to the Alpine Propane property. It simply doesn't satisfy the zoning ordinance and request that those factors be considered as well. In addition to the alternative sites that this applicant has to the north in the same industrial park that are suitable, currently zoned industrial, and nobody would have an issue with it being located in a properly zoned area that doesn't harm the M68 corridor that the township has been so concerned with. So there is no compelling reason here to override the township's recommendation of denial and the Planning Commission's recommendation for denial, and the same request is made here that this board deny the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Jeff Nyquist, Bear Creek Township. I'm here for Rich Ginnip, and I support him. And I'm a little upset that people are saying he's unethical. What we have is we have a division over philosophy in government, and it's something we're seeing in our society that's not good. That when people disagree, we then demonize them. We say they're evil somehow. They're acting unethically because now our side has all the good. We know what the good is, and he doesn't. He's bad. So I think we've got to be careful about that. If we don't want, we've heard people talk about society being polarized. If we want to come together, if we don't want to be polarized, calling other people unethical, calling them evil, saying their ideology represents something horrible. If you go down that road, you'll have it with the finger pointed the other way, and we don't want to go there. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Richard Frisky from Antrim County. We're another county that's in the local health department, and I'm here to support Rich Ginnip and the good work that he's doing on the health board. He, along with our county commissioner, we're very pleased with what they're doing there. We think that it's a very positive thing for the health board, the health department, to be governed by a more proactive board. Obviously, for many years, we didn't have that, and we all saw the results of that. My family and I have owned and operated Frisky Orchards and Farm Market for over 60 years, and in 2020, we had to bring a lawsuit against that health department and other state agencies in order to be able to continue to operate our business. And that, I think, we have a much better chance of that kind of thing not happening if we have a proactive board that is taking seriously their responsibility to provide some oversight to that health department. So I want to thank Rich for what he's doing, and so I would strongly encourage you not to move ahead with this action against him.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Ethel Larson, and I'm from Bear Creek Township. I'm retired, but for 44 years, I worked as a physical therapist. And my work in healthcare made me aware of the vital role of public health and the health department. I'm concerned about Mr. Ginnup's actions and the actions of his compatriots on the health department board. It seems that they are attempting to retaliate for COVID-era restrictions by denying services to children, thus reducing the health department's scope of service.
Excuse me, could you be quiet in the audience, please?
While Mr. Ginnup argues that there are private sector options for providing the services he refuses to support, I believe he's mistaken and perhaps uninformed. His actions violate the code of ethics. I believe it is wrong for him to continue on the health department board, and I urge the commissioners to replace him. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Can I just ask a point of clarification? If I speak now, will I be able to speak later when the quote-unquote public hearing is occurring?
Yes.
Do I need to reserve any time, or will I get another 3 minutes?
You get 3 minutes.
Okay, I appreciate that clarification. Thanks. I'm going to try to watch my own time here. All right. My name is Mary Moore. I'm an Emmett County taxpayer, specifically Littlefield Township. I'm here to support Rich Ginnup, and I think he's doing a fantastic job. Number one, I think that my friend Jeff had a good point. The very fact that you're hearing from people who agree with Rich and who disagree with Rich indicates that the political process here is working just fine. Rich has been elected, and he should stay right where he is, and he should stay on the health board. Number two, I want to repeat what I have said earlier at other meetings, other Emmett County meetings. You got to be cautious about listening to emotional appeals and generalities. Please do not be misled or persuaded by simple appeal to emotion. The nutrition grant, quote unquote, that started a lot of the, public disruption, actually had to do with obesity. What they were trying to do was make kids healthier and less obese. They weren't trying to feed starving children. Also, I understand that the grants that Mr. Ginnup didn't second at a committee meeting actually had to do with Antrim and Otsego counties. So he didn't second a motion to approve a grant that didn't even affect Emmett County. So I'm just saying, look very carefully at the details of some of the things that people are talking about. As a former lawyer, I want to look specifically at what I think Rich has been accused of in terms of ethics violations, and I will tell you I don't see any. Okay, he's acted in accordance with Emmett County's resolution establishing policies and positions to guide the representation on the Board of Health, which was approved by this board on 5 June 2023 and written, I think, by Mr. Koontz. Okay, so if you go through the bullet points of that resolution, I think you'll find that every single one of them has been followed. Rich supports the health department's compliance with the Michigan Health Code. Rich is serving on the Board of Health in a way that honors the mission. Rich has followed the bylaws of the Board of Health. He has considered legal advice from Emmett's attorneys and the health department's attorneys. He honors and respects the staff, et cetera. Okay? Secondly, in terms of what he's done, he's been mindful of the needs of Emmett County, and that's what he has been elected to do. I think we'll have a floodgate problem here if every time Mr. Koontz or somebody else disagrees with a vote by an Emmett delegate, we're going to go through this. Okay, it's hard to articulate a specific basis for a suspicion in writing, and I don't think that it's been done. I also don't think the ethics code was ever meant to be an end run around the chair's powers to appoint delegates and committee members. In fact, if you read the ethics code carefully, it really was meant to deal with the kind of the self-dealing that apparently went on here a few years ago. As long as Rich has good reasons for his votes, he's addressing things to the best of his ability. The bottom line is that Mr. Koontz wants to oust Rich from the Board of Health because he didn't second-guess the Otsego and Antrim commissioners, and that's silly. Thank you.
We allow her to finish her sentence. That's fine. Thank you.
Good to know.
Who's next?
Hello. Brenda Colvita. I live in Bear Creek Township. I'm here to voice my support for Commissioner Ginnab's work on the Board of Health and speak against the complaint presented to remove him from it. The complaint against Mr. Ginnab is faulty. The ethic code is being used to force him off of his position of the Board of Health. This complaint is based solely on the agenda of two angry ex-Board of Health members. I attended in person or watched on Zoom nearly every single Board of Health meeting for the last 3 years. These two former Board of Health members of which I speak worked in unison on hot-button issues. They wholly supported COVID lockdowns and unpopular masking policies dictated by the former health officer. She resigned in disgrace. They have an axe to grind. They lost power and they're trying to regain it. This is about control and money. Grant money the health department wanted and did not receive. Ironically, those grants were not even intended to benefit Emmett County residents. Per the language of Section B-11 of the Code of Ethics and Conduct written and approved by this board in June, Commissioner Ginnab is fulfilling his duties. Just because some of the other commissioners might disagree with him does not make him wrong. The complaint certainly does not rise to the level of expulsion based on this board's own standards. The resolution establishing policies and positions to guide representation on the Board of Health clearly states the code of ethics contained within. The ethics code was supposedly written to penalize commissioners such as those in the past whose financial actions were politically self-serving. Do you recall that when that occurred? I do. The Dark Sky Park was a good example of that. The current complaint against Commissioner Ginnab is not applicable and therefore should be disregarded by this board. Please do not allow personal vendettas to dictate proper representation of Emmett County residents on the Board of Health. The two commissioners who currently serve on it are fair, committed, and knowledgeable. They are fulfilling their duties according to this board's code of ethics and conduct that was written in this room in June by Commissioner Koontz, or authored by Commissioner Koontz and approved by the board. Thank you very much, Rich. I appreciate everything you do, and I hope everything goes well tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, my name is Herb Frisky from Emmett County. I'd like to address the issue regarding the expulsion of Mr. Ginnab from the health board. Prior to the last election, Emmett County residents were represented by a member of this board who was nothing but a yes man for the employees of the health department. Mr. Ginnab replaced him, and he's had a vendetta against him ever since. He and his loyal followers have been agitating to have this man removed from the health board ever since. Previous meetings that I've been to, Dave called, the big mantra was, oh, golly, Mr. Ginnab has not a doctor. He is no health expert. Therefore, he has no business interfering with the health department's inner. These are the experts we need to rely on, okay? After all, these people follow the science. Mr. Ginnab does not. Now they come up with a new ruse to get him removed from the board. So let's look at the record of these so-called experts. On March 8, 2020, the CDC stated, quote, healthy people do not need to wear a mask to protect themselves from COVID. Dr. Fauci the same day stated, there is no reason to be walking around with a mask. While masks may block some droplets, they do not provide the level of protection people think they do. Wearing a mask may also have unintended consequences. People who wear masks tend to touch their face more often to adjust them, which can spread germs from their hands. However, less than a month later,
they did an about face. There, then they stated Americans need to wear basic cloth or fabric masks in public. The experts also demanded that the government shut down all non-essential businesses. Big box stores, however, like Walmart, Costco, Lowe's, Home Depot, were exempt. They were considered essential. Mom and pop operations, however, were not considered essential. Thousands, perhaps even millions across America have gone out of business permanently because of that edict from the so-called experts. Do you suppose the fact that the big businesses lined the coffers of the politicians with millions of dollars might have had something to do with that decision?
30 seconds.
The experts also claimed that abortion clinics need to stay open, but churches need to be shut down. What a disgusting hypocrisy. Many experts, in my humble opinion, acted like bumbling fools and caused billions of people to suffer and die needlessly. Rich Ginnup is a strong voice for sanity. We need to keep him on this board. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to say it again. No comments when people are speaking. Give them the courtesy, please. Who's next?
Good evening. My name is Greg Bentley from Charlevoix County, and I'm here and speaking on behalf of Rich Ginnup, who I believe is a constitutional man. He's standing for our constitutional rights. Now, when I was a young man, a young boy, whenever I violated the family rules or wasn't diligent in my studies, I had my my weekly allowance revoked because I wasn't performing properly. Now, Mr. Gimmett has stood up and represented four counties by helping to balance the health board of Northwest Michigan, cutting back on grants that were used to promote a vaccine that is the world's most lethal vaccine ever produced. Mr. Gimmett is standing up for our constitutional rights. And I wholeheartedly support him.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Don Forbes. I'm from, also from Charlevoix County. I didn't even know who Mr. Ginnup was until yesterday. My friend Greg Bentley told me, and it seems to me what I'm seeing here is the Lord sends us champions of liberty once in a while. And you gentlemen here are going to decide whether or not you want to kick a champion of liberty out or hold on to him. And I think it's ridiculous if you kick out a champion of liberty. I think you're going to stand in front of the Lord someday. He's going to say, hey, I sent you Rich Ginnup to hold on to your liberties, and you kicked him out. So it's really as easy as that. That's how I see it. So God bless you, Rich Ginnup. Keep up the good work if these guys will let you.
Thank you. Who's next?
As another God-fearing, church-going Christian, I too say thank you for your public service. And my name is Frank Hawthorne of Petoskey, and I too support Commissioner Kuntz's proposal to restore integrity to our regional public health board. We've heard some of our neighbors here, and some who aren't our neighbors, toss around words which mischaracterize, Mr. Ginnup's highly politicized, just say no, anti-medical science, anti-government, really, actions as being somehow noble. Well, I simply call them out as all bull. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
My name is Sandy Festerling. I live in Harbor Springs, Michigan. And thank you, gentlemen, for the opportunity to speak. The world we live in now is nothing like it was 10 years ago. Therefore, we must be very watchful of everything around us. I support public health, just as the buttons say that people are using on their shirt lapels, but not overreach, as we have had during Ms. Peacock's reign. And under no conditions do I want to see socialist ways pushed that caused mandates of masking, being enclosed, and so-called vaccines, which are now we are seeing the results of in deaths, heart attacks, autoimmune issues, which will forever change the lives of those people who were in many instances coerced into them. I vote for individuals with ethics who look at where the grants are coming from. They look at the mice print, and I expect them to do that. That's what a good representative is. And what we are looking for are written in the grants, what favors do they want? I want to know that. I don't want to go with a handout just because there's something free. I stand with you, Rich Ginnup, and I continue as a commissioner in Emmett County. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, my name is Scott Patullo. I live in Resort Township, and I'm here to speak in favor of public health. I don't find it to be a scary topic. I don't find it to be this sprawling bureaucratic enemy. I think you don't have to look really any further than life expectancy at birth in the United States in 1990, in the good old days, was 47 years old. In 1950, we were up to 67. In 2000, we were at 77. And that was due to a whole lot of things, clean water, food safety, development of antibiotics, vaccines, immunizations, and all of those were public health issues. Many of the towns up here, frankly, were founded back in the day when affluent people in the cities in the Midwest got out of those cities in the summertime and came north to get away from cholera and typhoid because they didn't have clean water. And they didn't understand it, but they knew they needed to get away. And so they came up here, and that drove a lot of what the development happened up here in tourism. And so I don't think we should be taking away from our public health. I just don't think it's a bad thing. I think it actually helps us. And I recall when the Clean Water Act was passed, I remember my parents, my father and his contemporaries talking about how it was going to end all business in the Midwest when we passed the Clean Water Act. And it was going to shut down all the companies. And now we have clean water, and tourism in Michigan is the number two industry. And, you know, it's a good thing. I'd also like to speak a little bit personally on the issue of socialism. I grew up, I was raised by a single mom with four kids. She never made more than $22,000 a year. We got by. It was tough. Food, health care, always a challenge. And I remember going to the public health department for vision screening and hearing screening. And I'm old enough to remember polio and how grateful everyone was. And I remember having my sugar cube at the public health department. So I went to public school, went to public college, went to Michigan Tech, and I then went to graduate school and worked in business, ran companies, hired a lot of people, paid a lot of income taxes, made a lot of money, paid a lot of income taxes and property taxes, and I think the public's investment in me was a pretty damn good return. And I submit to you that we have a lot of young kids in this community who deserve the same support that I got. Am I done?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Bob Wiley, Emmett County, and I'm here in support of Rich Ginnup, and I've had the privilege and the honor to be what I would hope he considers a friend, and I have followed very closely for the past several months some of the transactions of the health board, attended most of the meetings over the past couple of months, and watched them on replay. Was at the subcommittee meeting recently, couple of times that some of these grants are coming up. And I feel that Rich has done his best to understand the ramifications of these grants and the decisions of the health board. And he's asked me many medical questions that, as a retired physician, I follow the vaccines very closely and follow the COVID very closely. I've written papers, medical papers, concerning the origins of the COVID. Feel that I'm reasonably well informed on many issues that affect the community as it relates to health, and have always been able to get a good ear of Rich to give him another way of looking at things. And I know that the board is working very hard, and even some of the members of the board that I don't agree with, I think your heart's in the right place, and I believe Rich Ginnup has a very pure and good heart, and I'm in strong support of his staying with the health board, and I think he is serving the community by encouraging good health. To say that he's against the health board, I think, is wrong. He's definitely for a prudent health board. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello, my name is Rose Fitzgerald. I'm a resident of Petoskey in Emmett County. First, I'd like to thank six of you for the opportunity to either speak with you directly or leave a message today expressing my opinion on this issue, on the issue of the Board of Health. I am unable to thank Mr. Ginnup because he did not answer his phone and he does not have voicemail set up on his phone. So I would encourage him to do so in order to be able to get opinions from your constituents. On the issue of the Board of Health, a number of people have spoken about the health aspects of it. I agree with much of what was said in support of removing Mr. Ginnup from the Board of Health, but I'd like to raise another issue that I don't think has been mentioned. Mr. Ginnup was asked, are you going to support and follow a majority vote decision of this council, of this commission? And he said, no, I will not. I think there are major implications to not removing him from the Board of Health, which is essentially saying none of you are bound by majority decisions of this board. And I would remind you that all of your work is based on majority decisions of this board, including who's on which board beyond that and who's your chairman. If that vote doesn't matter, the chaos that would ensue of show up first, sit in the chairman's chair, say I don't respect that decision, and we're down a path that we don't want to go. So if for no other reason than his refusal to follow a majority vote of this commission, I believe he deserves to be removed from the Board of Health. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Don't touch it. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mike Fitzgerald. I'm from Emmett County. Don't touch it, don't talk into it, okay. So, I grew up poor. My parents didn't have...
Do I have to be concerned?
Okay. My parents didn't have money for me to go to the dentist. I never went to the dentist until I was 22. And by that time, my teeth were a freaking mess. But we got that taken care of. However, I heard through my wife that there was a grant available to give poor kids dental health care, and somebody didn't want to get it because of some political agenda. It's like, no, let's not do that. Let's go out and get that money, and let's get those kids what they need, okay? Let's not have poor kids be pawns in whatever political drama we got going here.
let's make it happen so that we can be comfortable in the fact that we're doing everything that we can for these guys and gals. That's all I got to say. Please, let's not just make this a political game. Let's think about the folks that need the help that I think the health department gives, but I don't know. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello, my name is Paige Grimm, and I live in Resort Township in Petoskey. I'm a retired special education teacher. I was 10 years in Pelson schools and then 15 years working for the ISD. And I have worked with families who are poor, whose children are not very well fed, and who have medical issues. And it's very difficult for them to get in to have that happen. Commissioner Genep's refusal to honor the resolution passed by the Emmett County Commission that requires Emmett Board of Health members to support the mission of the Health Department disqualifies him from serving on the Health Department Board. Commissioner Genep does not represent all the needs of Emmett County residents. By not voting for a grant that provides nutritional support for area school children, he would deny these children the benefits of locally sourced healthy foods from local farmers. He also did not support the dental services for children through another grant. If he chooses not to support the mission of the Health Department, he needs to be replaced by someone who will. Please vote to remove Commissioner Gimmett from the Board of Health. And I'd like to refute somebody who spoke earlier about the fact that this is not needed. I'd like to share that the United Way of Northwest Michigan has opened up a clinic for children in the nine-county area, of which Emmett County is one, and it is for dental procedures. Our concern was we think we were just going to be doing teeth cleaning and fluoride treatments, and the children who are coming in with needing to have tooth removals. Some of them, two of them, their jaws were rotted and had to go in for oral surgery. We are talking about very severe needs, and they're not getting the help they need. So please, please, please consider your vote today and realize that there is an absolute need for this. It's not something frivolous. It's not pull up yourself by your bootstraps. It's an absolute need. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening, gentlemen and ladies. Bid Lyman from Petoskey. I have two short points. Number one is, as far as I can tell, since the policy was passed concerning the Board of Health this summer, only one grant has come before Mr. Genep, and he voted for it, even though the commissioner from the county that received the benefit voted against it. I would say that's a very honorable vote. Secondly, something to keep in mind concerning some of the other comments that have been made earlier tonight is that I believe that the Board of Health can do two things. Can, number one, support citizens who are in dire need of their services and make sure they get that. But secondly, protect many, many citizens from the Board of Health. And we need that kind of defense as well as that kind of support. I believe Mr. Genep can provide both of those, and I believe he will if he's allowed to stay. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello. My name is Cindy Banner. I'm from Boyne City in Charlevoix County. I'm here to support Rich Genep. I just want to say that I'm actually disturbed that we are looking to remove him from this board. We have a democratic process, and Mr. Genep was elected. And he was voting in the best interest of his constituents, and that's the way our democracy works, not for a board here to remove him for something that he was elected to do. And I know that this code of ethics was challenged in 2019 and to have several flaws. He took a code oath when he accepted to serve in this position, and he's following that. He's doing exactly as he's supposed to do. This isn't about how he voted. He
He was elected by the people, and he's doing exactly what he's here to do. And because someone on a board doesn't like the decisions that he made, I support him in every shape and way. And so we can just randomly pick and choose. I've come to these meetings before and been really unhappy with some decisions that commissioners have made that are serving on other committees. I went to several Board of Health meetings, was unhappy, unhappy, unhappy. No one got removed just because they voted a certain way. We're missing the point of this whole meeting. It's not about a grant. It's about someone serving who is elected. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. I completely support him. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Betsy White, and I live in Petoskey. I served on the Board of Health about 8 years ago. I was elected as a commissioner, and I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm so short. I don't know if people realize how the commissioners are appointed to sit on the County Board of Health. They're not elected by anyone to sit on the Board of Health. They're designated by the chairman that year of the county board, and he can appoint anybody he wants. The person is not voted upon. He is decided upon by one person. The issue that you have before you tonight is not a simple one, and it's not meant to be over other decisions you make in the future. I'm here tonight to support Mr. Ginnup's removal from the Board of Health. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Ange Duncan Petoskey.
Could you speak up, please?
Yep. I'm speaking on myself, Ange Duncan Petoskey. On behalf of myself and Mike Duncan, Star Duncan, Stephen Duncan, Adam Stiff, Jennifer Duncan, and Scott Gallo, all residents who cannot make it here tonight but have read my comment and wish to express the same sentiments. I can't count the number of times I have read or heard the HDNW mission statement and public comment in the last few months. We should all understand it at this point, especially the commissioners appointed to the Board of Health. Nowhere does it mention leave it to the parents or that there is help to be found. And while I agree that there is some help out there for some people, the only help to be found for others is at the health department. That is a significant reason for why it exists in the first place. To make decisions for the health department that affect vulnerable residents in this community, along with three other county's residents, while being willfully ignorant of that department's purpose is negligent at best. To seek or accept a controlling position for that department's board, while actively opposed, both in meetings and in public, to social health programs as a whole, then stonewalling in order to disrupt said programs is intentionally unethical and easily grounds for removal from, at the very least, his Board of Health appointment. Mr. Ginnup has shown repeatedly through his actions or inactions that he has no interest in representing the majority of Emmett County residents or backing programs that the health department, most mandated by public health code, was created to provide. For months, our community has been at odds with each other, the Board of Health and the Board of Commissioners. I believe that Mr. Aaron's gracious offer to take on the Board of Health committee appointment, with his previously voiced commitment to transparency and building trust with residents, is a step in the right direction toward healing the divide and discord that has plagued these meetings and those of the Board of Health. It's beyond time to start working together with integrity and a dedication to all residents that are affected by Board of Health decisions. We fully support and encourage the removal of Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health, as he has continuously refused to step down on his own and has proven that he has no intention of following the mission statement of the Health Department, the Code of Ethics and Conduct for Emmett County Commissioners, or a recent resolution adopted to support the Health Department, and allow Mr. Aarons an opportunity to do so. I believe it is your legal and ethical issue to do so. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Gordy Borland, Petoskey. I guess I can say I grew up poor before it was cool to be poor. I'm not using it as a statement for anything political. I'm just stating a fact. I, too, stood in line with my family to get the sugar cube, the vaccine on it. And it was important to us because two houses down from us, one of my neighbors, who was a couple of years younger than me, had polio. And polio was something that was not uncommon in those days. I also remember, too, much to my regret at the time, sitting in the school cafeteria with those things on your mouth as the dentist put the terrible stuff on the fluoride treatments, and you nearly gagged, you know, from that. But it was something that our family would not have been able to afford. The health department over the years has done fantastic things for people, people who need those services. A thing that struck me is if we were to survey every community in the north, every community in Petoskey, or Emmett County, I would be willing to bet you that if it's not the number one need, it's one or two, is affordable housing. If affordable housing is a number one concern, if people can't afford housing and they're struggling to put their family in housing, then how can they afford the health care and the health services that they need for their children or for them? The health department serves a fantastic role, and I think that it deserves to be supported and not try to have somebody dismantle it because it doesn't meet their political philosophy.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Cynthia McWater from Chicago, Michigan. I support the request to take action against Mr. Ginnup. My belief is if you're an elected official, you serve this community and demonstrate respect with dignity. Your leadership skills should show that you are committed to doing what's best for your community, keeping in mind their health, safety, and well-being is a priority. This seems to be lacking in certain areas, as evidenced by the responses towards the health department. Remember, you work for the people. You're getting paid to do that job, and you're expected to do that job well, showing respect and take action when it affects the community in a negative way. There were three issues I'd like to bring up, and it's related to the code of ethics, which I'm sure some people are tired of hearing. However, it is valid. It's true. You all read it and signed it in January when you took office. The first one is Mr. Ginnup violated the code when he blatantly said he would do it again. At the Board of Health Department meeting, Mr. Mason made a discriminatory comment towards Native Americans. We will not tolerate discrimination. That was very shameful, but again, no action was taken. At a meeting that took place here, a member of the audience made a physical threat comment to a member by telling the person next to him, go up there and tear her apart. No one from this board, including the chairman, did anything about that. That was a physical assault threat. In all three situations, the board nor Mr. Ginnup, like I said, took any action. That is also required by the code. There is also ongoing disrespect towards the health department, denying requests for grants to benefit students. Someone had mentioned that they were concerned because strings attached. I heard that several times tonight. Yes, indeed, there are strings attached. It's called the checks and balance system. Anytime a grant is given, you don't just receive it and say, oh, thanks, see you later. No, you have to be accountable. Some people have no control. Some people have no control over certain situations,
they may be faced with the job loss and the loss of health insurance. Our health department is there to help. It's time to stop all the negative comments, listening to theories with no proven evidence that undermine the group of this department and threatens our social system. Can I have one more second?
Finish your sentence.
As elected members of the board, you need to do the job for the community you serve, adhere to the Code of Ethics and the County Board of Commissioner Act 151 of 1851, number 4631, which explains neglecting, refusing to perform duties or violations and penalties.
Thank you.
Good evening. Neil Frisky, Charlevoix County. I'm also the state representative for the 107th District. I want to thank each of the board members for your service. Public service is no fun. It's always a challenge. I don't care what side of an issue you are on. You're never going to make everybody happy. I didn't come here with intention to speak, so I have no notes. I'm just speaking from my heart. I would just challenge you all please make sure that you keep a board that has a broad representation of the people. There's been a lot of different comments made tonight. Mr. Ginnup was duly elected. Obviously, the majority of the people in Emmett County and in his district voted for him and supported him. And so certainly, they had a good idea of how he was going to represent them, and that's what they wanted, just like they did with each one of you that represent your districts. And obviously, I serve in Lansing, and I see this on a much broader scale. And if we had everybody that had one opinion on every board, we would have no fair representation. The people that are against Mr. Ginnup would certainly not be happy if the board was 100%. And if you replace him with someone else, then you're going to start the same process over from the other side. So I think it's very important that we have equal representation. It's very important. We have to learn how to work together when we don't agree on every issue. And I do believe that he is probably doing the best job he can, as each one of you other members do. And you're never going to be 100% in agreement. So I think a good, fair representation is what serves the people the best. Otherwise, we will have nothing but tyranny or a true dictatorship or a socialist society, and that's not what we want to become. So please keep that in mind as you cast your vote here a little later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bethany Lieberman, and I'm from Emmett County. And I just wanted to point out, I find it so ironic that during this discussion of unethical behavior, your chairperson is making faces at constituents in the audience. It's obvious he's not going to step in, but I hope some of you will. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I, too, would ask that the decorum is asked from all members of the audience consistently. Mary Lieberman, City of Petoskey. I'd like to personally recognize and thank Commissioners Ahrens, Kuntz, and White for requesting a public hearing tonight regarding the violations of the Code of Ethics incurred by Commissioner Ginnup while serving as representative to the Board of Health. It can be overwhelming to try to keep track of the harmful actions and non-actions by Commissioner Ginnup in his role as one of our Emmett County representatives on the Board of Health over the last 8-plus months. Here are just a few of the travesties that warrant this proceeding tonight. Using social media, the ERG website, newspaper, and radio interviews to disparage the health department, its employees, and its programs. Publicly discrediting the attorney who represents the health department in the media on more than one occasion. Overheard in a public setting talking about his intent to find ways to remove the medical director from the health department. Not answering or returning phone calls and emails or responding to constituents who wish to voice their concerns when they differ from his personal opinions. Referring constituents to the ERG site to read his positions on issues. proposing a medical freedom resolution without legal review and causing unnecessary legal costs to the taxpayers and community division. Claim to have co-authored the 12-point manifesto against the nutrition grant as posted by Commissioner Rubin, which was filled with misinformation. Voting not to approve the May 2nd Health Department Board agenda, causing the meeting to not be held and stifling a huge crowd of constituents from addressing the board. Just these two irresponsible events alone have cost the taxpayers $9,800 in legal fees. Repeatedly sitting in silence at Board of Health meetings other than to acknowledge his presence during the roll call and to vote no to obstruction, to obstruct proposed grant applications that would have benefited our community's youth. For months, Mr. Ginnup never gave a report from health department meetings, despite those very meetings sometimes being 3 to 4 hours in length. Surely there was something to share. Refusal to give an explanation to constituents for his position or votes allows public comment to give inaccurate statements about the health department staff, issues, programs, and funding, deliberately promoting the spread of such misinformation without making any effort to correct it during his opportunity to do so in committee reports. Refuses to support the health department and its mission, repeatedly obstructing the staff from doing its valuable work and attempting to defund beneficial programs. His irresponsible actions have contributed to a hostile work environment for staff who work endlessly to protect our community despite these unwarranted attacks. Last but not least, when asked if he intends to continue violating the code of ethics going forward, his response was clearly, yes, I do. Thank you.
Who's next?
Courtney Wilbur, I am once again here to support the health department. Just wanted to share that we are still on this whole COVID thing and the vaccine thing when we just are trying to get grants for the children in our community. You blocking grants for our children in our communities because you're upset about having to get a vaccine, whether or not you got it, or having to stay home to keep others safe is very frustrating to me. Our children deserve better. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we're now going to close public comment, and I think it's time to take a break. 10 minutes? I think there's a big enough crowd, it's going to need to be 10 minutes. Okay, we'll call this meeting back to order. We've come to the point where it's time for the administrator's report.
Well, thank you. I'll be very brief tonight because I know we still have a long ways to go. Just an update on the locks. The Armored Corps of Engineer was down. We did have a malfunction in the locks on the 24th of August. We've been trying to get it repaired. Unfortunately, the locks are older, and they're getting a piece specially built for this. And as soon as that's back in, locks will be back open and functioning. I think it's opened the Army Corps of Engineers' eyes up a little bit. We do need to do a little bit more maintenance on that. That is their lock, not ours. I did give you a quick update on the county fair. We will have our fair director in at one of our next meetings to give us an overall, but numbers were very good. On the Midway, the concerts were sold out. The monster truck, everything went very well this year. Airport, I gave you a quick, and we'll get that report at our next meeting, the overall sales, what we've got at the airport, fuel sales, departures, that information will come forward, so I won't go through that. Planning and zoning, you can see in the report we had the update on there, the cases that they were before you, and then leading into the PUD one, that will be our next topic on the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the administrator? Any comments? Thank you for that. So up next is in new business. We're talking about the planning and planning unit development for rezoning.
And I will ask Tammy Dornenberg to come up and give us a quick overview of that. You heard some public comment tonight. She will give us an update.
Thank you, Tammy Dornberg, Emmett County Planning and Zoning Director. Your packet was pretty full of information, background information on this case. The request was a planning or development rezoning. So there are two sections of the ordinance which address this, and also the Michigan Zoning Enabling Act. Article 17 is the planning and development section, and then Article 27.11, section Article 27.11, discusses the standards for a rezone. There was a misstatement made by Katie Derone that was corrected by legal counsel for the applicants, and I just wanted to reiterate the process. We did hold two public hearings at the Emmett County Planning Commission level. We are required to notify property owners within 300 feet of the subject property. We did that twice, property owners and occupants. So if someone was not occupying a property but renting it to someone else, two people would be notified for that property. So that was done twice to make sure that everyone within the vicinity had equal opportunity to voice their concerns because of the 4th of July holiday. There was some discussion that that should be done again. So the Township Board was the one who recommended to the Emmett County Planning Commission. They recommended denial unanimously. And then the Emmett County Planning Commission, after the two public hearings, also recommended denial. It was a 6-3 vote. We do have 9 members on that Planning Commission. Those public hearings were held on July 6th and August 10th. And so this was the first opportunity for us to come before you with this rezoning request. I hope that you read through at least some of the materials that were provided to you. The minutes were very, very clear about the direction of the Planning Commission, and the PUD is the standard that has to be followed. The master plan, we did put a lot of time into our master plan, and it does show the property as industrial on the future land use map, but there are also other sections of the master plan which identify items that were taken into consideration by the Planning Commission. For instance, in the land use, future land use section, the future land use map does not necessarily indicate the need for immediate changes, but rather acts as a guide for long-term growth. And then the zoning plan, Chapter 7, the master plan is a living document intended to guide decision-making. So the Planning Commission reviewed. They did recommend denial. If you have any questions, I would be happy to answer those, if I'm able.
Okay, so do we have any questions for Tammy at this point? So we have two motions before us, motion to deny and a motion to approve.
Mr. Chair, just for, can I comment for
sure,
the board's
yes.
consideration on those two motions? We did talk before the meeting. As you know, we always provide motions to the board. In this instance, this is a PUD rezoning matter, and we have a recommendation, the benefit of a recommendation from the Planning Commission with reasons supporting why they are recommending denial. And with that, and with some of the comments that were made by Planning Commissioners during that meeting, we were able to put together a motion for your consideration to deny. That does not mean you have to deny. That's why we also included a motion for your consideration to approve. So your choice is between two motions, a motion to deny and obviously a motion to approve. The thing with the motion to approve is we don't have a recommendation to approve to know what your reasons for approving might be or any conditions that you might place on an approval if you were to bring a motion to approve. So if this board, we don't know what you're going to do. If this board is going to make a motion to approve or anybody on it and you're going to vote on it, it's advisable to include reasons. And if there are any conditions, that you include those conditions. And if you have questions about that, Ms. Dornberg and I are both here to help assist any questions you may have regarding formulating that motion if you do indeed go that route.
So, again, let's ask for questions or comments for either Tammy or Steve. I have a question. So the distance from the highway or the distance from housing falls into this, right?
The property is adjacent to M68 highway. So if the rezoning to a PUD were approved, there is a site plan or a concept plan that was submitted with the application, And so I would say that if you're leaning toward an approval, that you should reference that plan, because it does move the or keep the storage, the propane storage tank, farther north on the property than the entire property is. So it keeps it set back a bit. And if you're leaning toward that, then I would also suggest that you discuss maybe or make a decision on whether or not to approve the request by the applicant to modify the perimeter setback. So a PUD requires 50-foot setback around the entire PUD property, and the applicant requested a modification to that to allow a 25-foot north side yard setback rather than the full 50 feet. The tank would be regulated further by the state of Michigan, not only zoning, but the state of Michigan as well. Does that answer your question? In the materials, there was a concept plan that was provided as a preliminary plan unit development PUD plan, and that did show one propane tank, and that was all that was requested was one tank, and within 80 feet of the north property line would be the only area that they, during the Planning Commission review, would need to have for one propane tank.
Okay, so that would put it closer to the tanks that
yes.
Alpine has?
Yes.
And that's really a no-no.
That's not for me to say that.
Didn't mean for you to say it. Okay, so again,
go ahead. I'm just curious because I read this stuff. I read this stuff a couple of times. There's a lot of information to absorb in this. And I'm not sure, you know, and listening to the speakers tonight, those who represent the company and those who represent the competition, for lack of other businesses, let me put it that way. I listened to what they said. If there wasn't any other, you know, if this was the only site left in that industrial district that's there already, Keystone Industrial, would this be approved? Because I'm hearing that they have other options to purchase other pieces of property in that industrial area. Correct.
So that was one of the comment. Well, several times that comment was made. That is something that our master plan talks about, that a rezoning is appropriate when there is no other location, or it's appropriate where there's a demonstrated need for that use and there's no place for that use to go. So that would be consistent with what the Planning Commission recommended.
So if there was no other place for them to go in that industrial unit, would you still be wanting to deny the permit to purchase the property that's there in the front?
I don't vote, so it's not really up to me. It's up to the Planning Commission to decide that, and I can't really answer that question.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have asked you that anyway, but that's just swirling around in there because I don't know why, but you know, I don't even know what their problem would be to if there's another lot in the industrial area that better suits the placing of that, and it's really no less convenient to them than the one there right on the front of the frontage of the road. You know, there's options, so I don't know. I'm torn at this point. Don't know.
Do we have any other discussion, questions, comments? Do we have a motion?
I'd be willing to make a motion. I make the motion to deny the application in case number PPUD23-001, Johnson Oil Company of Gaylord, for a planned unit development rezoning of property located at 7486 Keystone Park Drive, Section 11, Littlefield Township, Tax Parcel 24-07-17-11-127-130, as shown on the Keystone Park PUD proposed site plan, dated received June 8, 2023, for the following reasons. One, the stated township intent generally and in the township master plan and corridor study has been to restrict industrial uses fronting on M68 corridor because such uses would be out of character for that corridor and are not in accord with the land use goals of the community and not appropriate for the subject property. Number two, Many industrial uses are not deemed appropriate in close proximity to a busy highway, including for many safety issues. Number three, other sites zoned for this proposed use are available within the close proximity to this site, and the need for rezoning has not been established. Number four, the stated reasons for rezoning by applicant are for financial reasons unrelated to the land and existing zoning of it. Number five, the proposed use of the subject property is not consistent with the types and arrangements of mixed-use development intended for planned unit developments under the existing zoning and zoning ordinance. Number six, the applicant has not established that there have been changes in land use or other conditions in the area which justify the rezoning request. Number seven, the Littlefield Township Board has recommended denial based on the township master plan and corridor study and their past adherence to these plans in the past. Number eight, the current zoning boundary appears to be proper and consistent. And number nine, the Emmett County Planning Commission has recommended denial after holding two public hearings.
We have a motion on the floor.
I support that.
And a second. Any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think it's very wrong to say that industrial use is out of character for an industrial park. That's what that park is there for. And I'm referring to a questionnaire of M68 area property owners. And it says, do you want to encourage additional commercial use in the M68 area? And the majority of citizens in that area replied yes, 53%. And this would be a huge benefit for the citizens in northern Michigan to have more competition in propane, have a bigger supply, more competition, better prices.
Thank you, Chuck. Is any other comments, questions? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Kuhn?
Yes.
Mr. Lofbaum?
No.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Ginnup?
Yes.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Up next is the public hearing. At this point, I'm going to turn the gavel over to the vice chairman, and he's going to take over for the public hearing.
At this time, can we have a motion to go into public hearing?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Moved and supported. We are now in public. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? At this time, I'd turn it over to our civil counsel to explain the public procedures and the steps that we're going to be following tonight.
Yes, thank you very much. So this is obviously a type of proceeding that doesn't happen very often. And it is a type of proceeding that incorporates a number of things that work toward fairness in the proceedings, toward due process for everybody involved. And moving through the proceedings in a manner that keeps order and moves through it, providing those interested parties an opportunity to speak. So with that, the process that has been recommended to follow here is to first have the three commissioners who presented the issue for tonight's agenda item to present the reasons why they've requested the hearing and give them an opportunity to tell the Board of Commissioners the specific provisions of that fixed code, one or more of them that they believe Commissioner Yip has violated. In the notice that was provided, they've identified one provision of the ethics code, but to make that clear in the record, also the specific facts and ways they believe that there's been a failure to comply with those provisions of the ethics code, and then the sanctions under subsection B15C of the ethics code, they believe would be appropriate if he is found to be in violation at the conclusion of this hearing. So that would be the first step. And the second step would be to provide Commissioner Ginnup, if he desires at this time, an opportunity to be heard. His responses to